That intro music just gets me going. Welcome into the QB List podcast. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, here as always with my one and only Mr. Brett Ford. How are we doing this evening, I guess, even though it's bright outside. That's the summer days. How's it going, Brett?
It's going, man. Hi, diddly ho, neighborinos. Like, I can't believe that was not the first words out of your mouth. Oh my goodness.
The music just got that in my soul.
I know. I could see you conducting it while we were behind the scenes.
Like I could
there,
fist but, fight a grizzly bear or something. I know. It's sorry, Ned, that I didn't drop that, but thank you for getting it covered. We have to make sure
this
at least one neighborino in every episode.
I need like a signature Simpsons intro. Just come in and be like, hi everybody.
Oh, that was pretty good. I like it. There you go.
Probably be more fitting if I said worst podcast ever.
That's pretty good. We need to like have a soundboard with us doing Simpsons impressions to use them. Oh, yeah. I thought you might go with the sea captain, but you got a sea captain for us?
No, okay. I don't. And I'm not even going to try. I don't want to embarrass myself more than I already did with the Kylo Ren sound drop earlier this offseason.
That was phenomenal. That was well worth it. Well, enough of that nonsense. We've got some more nonsense coming up for you. You may have already listened to our guys, Brian and Mario, handle the NFC West. Us four are tag teaming the divisions. We're about 4 weeks out. Shout out to Brian for this idea. I loved it. We're 4 weeks out, four divisions in each conference. They are handling the NFC. Brett and I are handling the AFC, and we're just going to go team by team. And obviously, this is a fantasy podcast, but you know, there's a lot to be learned from the overall aspect from the team. So look at each team, how they finished, you know, what their strength of schedule is, key losses, key additions, and just the storyline surrounding the team. It's obviously going to have a fantasy spin, but just kind of talk about each team. And I know last episode we said, hey, we're condensing. We're going to go closer to 30 minutes. Yeah, these episodes aren't going to be that. But long term, that will be the case. We don't want to cut you short. There's too much good stuff to talk about. And since this is going to be a longer one, Brett, I will throw it right to you. Who's the first team that we're going to start with, and what division are they from?
I know that Brian and Mario started with the best team in the division in the NFC West, but they had the Super Bowl champions to deal with. So we're going to start with the best team from the AFC West last year, but we're also going to do it in alphabetical order because that's just how I organized the show. We'll go to the Mile High City. We'll start with Denver.
It's not to interrupt you, but it's not in ABC order.
Sure it is. Denver, Kansas City, Las Vegas.
I was thinking nickname. BCRC. Oh, no. Okay. Sorry to interrupt you. All right. Let's go right back to you. Brett,
all right. Geographic alphabetical order. So we'll start in Denver, the Mile High City, with the Broncos. Their 2025 record was 14-3. They reached the AFC Championship game. They were 12-3 in one score games, Jay, something that we may need to look out for moving forward in 2026. They have this year the 15th toughest strength of schedule, according to PFF. Key losses, they really didn't have any. They're returning, I believe, 10 starters to their offense. And then key additions, they added Jalen Waddle at wide receiver. They drafted Jonah Coleman at running back and drafted Justin Jolly at tight end. Now, granted, Jolly may be more of a depth piece or a dynasty piece, but a lot of interesting storylines here for the Broncos. Jay, where do you want to start?
I think we have to start at the quarterback position for a few different reasons. So that injury that he suffered in the game right before the AFC Championship, it sounds like he's going to be ready.
It sounds like he's going to be ready for training camp. Whether he'll be 100% or not, it'll be interesting to see. But it sounds like he'll be ready for training camp. I don't think it will have an impact once the regular season rolls around. Like, he should be able to get reps in camp in the preseason and be ready to go week one. But I do think it is depressing his draft value a little bit. Bo Nix, QB 16 in Fantasy Pros rankings right now, 104 overall. I kind of like that value for Nix.
I have a hard time with Knicks. He's one of those guys that really difficult for me to rank because you've seen the upside. You know, he's had two top 10 seasons for fantasy purposes, but he was extremely volatile. He had a couple of touchdown games, but he threw one or fewer touchdowns in 11 games and under 250 yards in 11 games as well. You know, that broken ankle in the second to last game. He's going to be fine, but I do really like the addition of Jaylen Waddle. Jaylen Waddle is a guy that I've been on for, you know, pretty much since his sophomore year. And I think he's perennially undervalued. But again, this is Sean Payton. And you really don't, we don't know what to expect. And the highs are high for Knicks. And I do think that having Waddle will bring the floor up. QB 16. I'm comfortable with. When you start getting to the low teens, the preteens, if you will, I don't think I can take them in that range. So I think right outside of a QB1, I am perfectly happy taking him there. Any closer to that, there's too much volatility for me to trust him as a week in, week out starter.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that I'll be looking for as maybe a bye week fill in. You know, his bye week is week 10, so he can fill in for pretty much anybody in the top 10 outside of Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia and Caleb Williams in Chicago, also bye week 10. So definitely a guy that I'll be looking at in one quarterback leagues is kind of a streaming option. Not necessarily somebody I'm interested in drafting. But I mean, if the opportunity presents itself, the cost is not bad, like you said. Let's look at their running backs, Jay. Very interesting backfield here in Denver. J.K. Dobbins re-signs. R.J. Harvey is there, the rookie last year who took over at the end of the year. And then they drafted Jonah Coleman, a guy that I know you liked going into the draft, if I remember correctly. Dobbins, interestingly enough, is RB34. R.J. Harvey is in front of him at RB31. And Jonah Coleman down at RB50 in Fantasy Pros ADP. Where are you looking in this backfield? Or are you just fading it altogether?
I wouldn't necessarily say fading it altogether. I'm definitely not. Well, I don't want to depend on any of these guys. And this is a scenario where people do tend to make the mistake of completely fading the backfield because we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what's going to happen. And it is going to be ugly to try to figure out who winds up being the most fantasy viable back. This is a scenario where I would generally tend to target whoever's the cheapest. If I can get one of these guys at the end, you know, towards the end of the draft for like flex value, something along those lines. I mean, we've seen time and time again, it takes one injury. It takes one guy to just underperform, start getting more carries, and you've already got value. It doesn't mean that they have to become this RB1 league winner, waiver wire wonder. If you get one of these guys at a flex value or less, and they wind up getting more carries than you expect, whether it's injury, whether it's performance, you get an RB2. Like, that's value. The whole name of the game is getting value. And I think this is before it really hurt because you were right. I'm a big fan of Jonah Coleman. I think I would have liked to see a place where he would have jumped in to have a little less competition for touches, but I do think he has the talent, whether, you know, Dobbins hasn't been able to stay healthy in his career. R.J. Harvey was so-so, had some big performances, but the metrics weren't quite there. So I would honestly, any three of these guys, I'm willing to take a shot on late. You know, I play hero RB, and that's the type of guys that I like to load up at the end of drafts and hope and pray one of them, you know, jumps into that RB2 value.
Looking at this backfield, I think I kind of like Dobbins. He was one of my highest exposure players last fantasy football season, which worked out great for the first 8 weeks. He had a top 24 running back finish in half PPR league, or in standard leagues rather, six of the first 8 weeks. So I was pretty happy with that, especially getting him as late as I did. He's going a little bit earlier in drafts this year, right around the 100 mark, RB31, RB34, surrounded by guys like Kyle Manongai, Blake Corum, kind of that ambiguous backfield group, right?
Shout out JJ Zacharyson.
So he is one of those guys that if I get a discount, I am very much in on Dobbins. But it would take like a one round discount from where he's currently going, I think, somewhere maybe after pick 100 that I'd be looking at him. I think guys that I'm more interested than him going later are guys like Jordan Mason and Jonathan Brooks, both of whom can be had later in the draft.
Completely agree with you there. And, you know, you and I have talked ad nauseum about Mr. Brooks and may have actually just recently, I have it in arm's reach, but picked up another autographed card. Maybe sell that down the road, or maybe I'll just keep it if he helps me win a fantasy championship. But yeah, I'm with you. And I think that's going to be the play, is this is not a backfield that you can depend on, but there might be some value for it. I don't think, and it sounds like you don't think either, that it's a backfield you should completely ignore. But it's actually a similar situation with the acquisition of that we touched on earlier. Jaylen Waddle traded to the Denver Broncos, which would normally be a great thing, except he's got Cortland Sutton, got Troy Franklin, got, you know, whoever that Sean Payton decides is going to randomly be his guy that week. How are you attacking this wide receiving core from a fantasy aspect? Is there anybody that you're targeting, you're avoiding? What's your plan of action with the Broncos?
This is kind of one of those wide receiver core that it's like, if it comes to me, I'll take it, but it's not necessarily one that I'm going out of the way to get any pieces of. Like you said, with Sean Payton, it's really hard to trust any one guy. I will say in non-PPR, like in standard leagues, I think Cortland Sutton's value should be a little bit higher than what it is in like PPR leagues, just because I think he's going to be a red zone maven like he has been the past couple of years. I really like, you know, the way he goes up and gets the ball, comes back to the quarterback, just the little things that make him really good in the red zone, I think, are evergreen and will carry over to 2026, even with Waddle on the opposite side of the formation.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a really good point. And if you don't mind, while I talk about Waddle, look up their ADPs for me, if you don't mind. I don't have that up, but Court, before they traded for Jaylen Waddle, I was really interested on Sutton because, you know, he started off slow, or, you know, he started off okay and then had that slow period and then came on really strong at the end of the year. And I think people forgot how strong. I would love, before Waddle, I would have loved to have Cortland Sutton as my wide receiver too, because he's got a somewhat consistent floor enough to not kill you every week. And he will have those blow up, you know, week winning type of performances. With Waddle, I'm with you where it just depends on where you're going to be able to draft these guys and what the makeup of your team is. I would much prefer Cortland Sutton as a wide receiver three now, but it's not going to happen.
So Waddle is being drafted as wide receiver 23, 52nd overall. Cortland Sutton all the way down at wide receiver 37, 86th overall. So you may be able to get him as a wide receiver three, or maybe even a bench wide receiver after, you know, pick 80. So what we're looking at, like 7th, 8th round, maybe.
I like that, actually. And I'm glad you looked that up, because talent-wise and upside-wise, Waddle is definitely the guy, but I'm not willing to pay that price for him with this situation. Yeah, man, if Sutton stays in that range or lower, I'll take him all day as my wide receiver three or my flex or something along those lines. That's just, I mean, you're basically getting him at his floor. That's incredible. So, you know, we are recording this on July 9th, so ADPs are going to fluctuate certainly, but we're starting to get to ADPs where you really can figure out, you know, this is the range that guys are going to be in. So if he's close to that, I don't mind it. And then on the tight end aspect from the Broncos, is there anybody that you're remotely interested in here?
I mean, the fact that Evan Ingram's being drafted at tight end 34 after going as high as tight end 4 last year is interesting, but it's not interesting enough to draft him. It's interesting enough to maybe flag him on my watch list after the draft. Yep. We'll see how it goes.
Or if, like, you have really deep benches and you've got just like nobody, throw him at the end of your bench, knowing that you're more than likely going to drop him.
Perfect.
That's pretty much it for the Mile High City. We will roll on to the next city in alphabetical order. That is Kansas City, the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, their tight end may have just gotten married to somebody this weekend. I'm not sure. I think I saw it on the news or something. But the Chiefs had a very disappointing season for not just their standards, but anybody's standards. 6-11. Their 2026 strength of schedule is pretty much in the middle of the road. So no real takeaways from there. They did lose Kareem Hunt. They added some guy. I don't know if you ever heard me talk about him. Kenneth Walker. He's pretty good. Justin Fields. We don't know what the situation is going to be with Patrick Mahomes as the season starts to get a little closer. It sounds like he's going to be there, but we really don't know. And they drafted a rookie who I am very interested in, and we'll get to here in just a little bit. But what's your take on Patrick Mahomes? How are you targeting him this as of right now in fantasy drafts? What's your expectation for him to start the season?
Well, right now, Patrick Mahomes is going outside of the top 12 in drafts. He's going as QB 13, right around 94th overall, according to Fantasy Pros ADP. So if I can get Mahomes late in drafts, like if I can get him as my second quarterback, or just like I waited and I'm going to stack him with maybe like, you know, a Bo Nix type where I just take two quarterbacks in that range. I'm happy to do that because if for whatever reason he starts the season on the PUP list, Kansas City has an early bye week, so the Chiefs could sit him for the first 4 weeks, get an extra week of rest for Mahomes, and then bring him back week six with 13 games to play. I could totally see Andy Reid doing that, kind of Kansas City playing the long game there with Mahomes. So I'm happy to take him as a planned second quarterback in one quarterback leagues, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And you know, one thing we didn't touch on with the Broncos, but I do want to emphasize here, you know, so much can change with coordinators, different coordinators coming in. There's a new coordinator that's an old coordinator coming back to the Chiefs, and some guy named Eric Bieniemy that Patrick Mahomes has had some of his most prolific season, not just fantasy seasons, just he had a 50 touchdown season in 2018 with him at the helm. I'm really excited for the entire offense to have Bieniemy back. And like you said, I had this approach with Patrick Mahomes last year and it started to pay off until he had that season ending ACL injury. But if I can get Patrick Mahomes for that price, I'm taking the risk. I don't care what he's looked like the past couple of years. He still has QB1 overall upside. He's just that type of talent. I remember, I'll have to look at the exact numbers, but I remember when Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay, like he had a couple of seasons that were just okay and everybody was fading him. And then he just went ballistic. I want to say it was probably like 2016, 2017, something along those lines, somewhere in that range. And I feel like that could be coming for Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes finished in the top six in QB scoring for, let me count them. Hold on. 7 out of the first 8 weeks of last year. So he can still sling the rock. Like he's not washed. Like, you know, some people might be thinking that maybe this ACL injury might have been the end for the legend that is Patrick Mahomes. That's not the case. Like he can still sling the rock. Eric Bieniemy coming back, even though Andy Reid's going to be calling the plays to begin the year. Bieniemy coming back is encouraging based on their past successes with him as OC. So I'm really excited for Mahomes, especially the value that we might be presented with. Like he could legitimately finish as a top three quarterback this year.
Absolutely. And like I said, I don't put it out of the realm of possibility as QB1 overall. Absolutely. Obviously things would have to break right. But that's, you know, that's still in his range for me at least. One thing that has to break right for that is Rashee Rice staying on the field. He's had some more off-season issues, off the field issues. He's had some, you know, just got out from serving a 30-day jail sentence for his, two off-seasons ago, got in a car accident. So hopefully that he's taken that as a life lesson and learned from it and, you know, gets straighten out. We're going to look at this from a strictly fantasy point of hoping he's on the field. Hollywood Brown is gone, but they do still have Xavier Worthy. You know, they've got they've had a plethora of guys that have just kind of been, you know, we see flashes here and there. Is it Mahomes? Is it the offense? If Rashee Rice is there, what's your take on Xavier Worthy? Is he somebody you're looking at, or is it really going to be dependent on if Rashee Rice is on the field or not?
I think that Rice and Worthy are different enough receivers. You know, their strengths are in different places in the game, where I don't think his presence impacts Worthy so much from a role standpoint, maybe from a volume standpoint, which frankly, I still think Worthy is going to get scripted targets. I think he's going to get first read looks. You know, it may not be, obviously won't be as many if Rashee Rice is on the field with him. But I don't mind Worthy as a flyer late in drafts. But I am really excited about Rice. He's currently wide receiver 12, 29th overall in ADP. So a guy that you can pick up in the third round, and certainly one in that range that I'm targeting, you know, if I'm able to go running back heavy in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I kind of took a risk last season taking Quinshon Judkins, where, you know, he had a little bit of a dip in ADP. Sometimes the things work out. It did for him. If there's any kind of dip in value in ADP for Rashee Rice, I am taking it all day. That's how you win championships, by taking risks like that and then paying off. And I'm with you with Worthy. I think that he's not going to be, you know, everybody thought that he, not everybody, many people thought that Worthy could become what Rashee Rice has in this offense. That's not going to happen, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have fantasy value. And I think if you don't mind pulling up the ADP for him as well, I think he's somebody that I could wind up rostering a lot of because of the way that things went down last season and, you know, him really just disappointing overall. It might be worth taking a shot to see, you know, again, where you're able to get him is the key.
So Xavier Worthy is going as wide receiver 49 in Fantasy Pros half PPR ADP, right around the 112th pick. So you're looking at maybe rounds 10, around 9, round 10. So certainly
I like that.
A bench wide receiver. Let me see if I can pull up some names that he's going around. Okay, names that Worthy is going around. You can tell me if you'd prefer Xavier Worthy from Kansas City or one of these receivers. Indianapolis Colts, Josh Downs.
Give me Josh Downs. I'm excited for him this season.
Green Bay Packers, Jaden Reed.
Give me Reed. It's more about those guys than me being down on Worthy. I just I like both of them.
Okay, let's move down the list a little bit. Jaden Higgins out of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, give me Worthy.
Khalil Shakir in Buffalo.
Worthy without question. Before we go any further, that's the type of scenario where I want to take the shot on the upside. Shakir is probably going to finish week to week ranking higher. So you're going to get 10 points from him every week. Give me the guy, Xavier Worthy, in that range that can win you a week. And if things break right, can become, there's no reality where Khalil Shakir is going to jump into the top 15 to 20 wide receivers for fantasy. There is a reality where that happens with Xavier Worthy. It's, in the words of Dr. Strange, it's one, maybe more like two, but it's possible. So at that point, especially this early in the season, take the shot on the upside of the guy that can help you win your league.
Before we move on to our next team, Jay, give us 30 seconds to a minute on Emmett Johnson, the Chiefs rookie running back. ADP RB 57, 186 overall. So this is a guy that might go undrafted in some places, looking at maybe like 15th, 16th round. So really like a lottery ticket flyer at the end of drafts. But Jay, you like him.
I like him a lot. In the words of Harry, is it Harry or is it Lloyd?
Oh, it's
Harry, I think it was. Yeah, it was Lloyd Christmas. Oh, that was pretty bad. But yeah, we got to get those 90s references in here as I pull up my notes with Mr. Emmett Johnson. And before the draft, I did some pre-draft rookie rankings. And the thing I said about Emmett Johnson is he's definitely going to be a committee back. And in order to be fantasy viable, he has to fall into the perfect scenario. He did. I comped him to Kareem Hunt before the draft. He's basically taking Kareem Hunt's role, in my opinion. It might not be right off the bat, but Kenneth Walker, it hurts a little bit. It hurts my heart for Kenneth Walker, RB1 overall season. If Emmett Johnson does take that third down PPR type of role, but Emmett Johnson's that guy that can be completely free. And honestly, whether you take him in the draft or you wait and kind of, you know, wait for somebody else to draft him, he should be, if he's able to carve out that third down role, flex viable, not somebody you start every week, but somebody you can feel okay about as flex with. I mean, if he has a decent amount targets, could wind up being a back end RB2.
Is, you said Johnson's comp coming out was Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt was a goal line specialist last year for the Chiefs. Are you anticipating Emmett Johnson to take over that goal line role, maybe like Zach Charbonnet took away from Kenneth Walker in Seattle?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. The things that I like about Johnson compared to Hunt, or comped him to Hunt, was because of his ability as a pass catcher, his ability to read the field and slip past defenders. He doesn't have elite speed, but he did have a heavy workload. And we've seen Kareem Hunt handle a heavy workload when called upon. I don't think that's going to be the case for Johnson, but he can. So that's
okay. So the comp was a young Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. A Cleveland Kareem Hunt, maybe.
There you go. Will. Okay. That makes a ton more sense. Sorry. I thought, you know, when I thought Kareem Hunt, I thought of 2025 Kareem Hunt, who is just that guy who, you know, third and goal from the one and you're just pounding it in. That
makes, you know, and I also did just say he just replaced the guy. So I completely understand why you went there. So I'm actually my first official 2026 ranks will be coming out, I believe, next week. So I need to make sure that I throw that on there, that caveat that it's a young Kareem Hunt.
Well, Jay, that's two teams down in the AFC West. Is there anything else you want to talk about with Kansas City before we take a break?
Yeah, we didn't mention some guy named Travis Kelce, and I'm interested to get your take on him from a fantasy perspective, not from a Entertainment Tonight perspective. I've really struggled with him as well. I faded him last year just because we've seen the regression, but he had a pretty decent fantasy season. It's just, he's another year older. You know, he's got a couple of off the field distractions. Like, I really don't know what to do with Travis Kelce. Tell me what to do, Brett, with Travis Kelce.
For me, Kelce's a fade. I'm not really that excited about a 36-year-old, that's a guess, by the way, 36-year-old tight end who is going as tight end 11, 104 overall, according to Fantasy Pros ADP. There are guys around him, behind him, that I'd be more interested in taking. And there are certainly a lot of guys in front of him. Just in most of my builds, I'm looking at higher tiered tight ends. So Travis Kelce is not on my list. If I'm struggling with tight end, like if I don't have one and Kelce's name pops up as like the next best available, I'm probably skipping over him and looking at guys like Dalton Kincaid or Isaiah Likely instead.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's unfortunately the point that we're at with him in his career. He'll probably finish as a tight end one, but
he's also been really distracted this offseason. I don't know if you've noticed. That's not to throw shade at him or his work ethic by any means, but like,
not at
you're
all.
Marrying you literally got married to the most popular pop star in the world. You got
possibly ever, possibly he, ever. So
he's got other stuff going on,
and no shade on that either. Just it's hard to focus on football, but
bingo.
Yeah, let's go on before we have the Swifties after us. We will roll along to the next city in alphabetical order. It's still, I caught myself saying Oakland the other day, and I guess it's the old head in me, and I said San Diego for the Chargers, but the Las Vegas Raiders, yeah, they were not great Bob, and finished the season 3-14, got the first overall pick. They have the 11th toughest strength of schedule for this upcoming season. Definitely some changes there. New head coach, new quarterback. You know, they lost Geno Smith and Raheem Mostert. They took Fernando Mendoza, number one overall, added Kirk Cousins to kind of help ease him into the position. It's like a mini-me situation there, I feel like. It's the same person. Fernando Mendoza definitely has a pocket full of Coles cash. Let's just put it that way. Jalen Naylor, who I know you're going to want to wax poetic about, Mike Washington Jr., boosted the offensive line and brought in Clint Kubiak. Brett, how do you feel about the Raiders from a fantasy perspective this season?
Las Vegas is a two-horse town. Like, there's two guys there that...
Are you challenging me to a duel at noon?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, it's Ashton Jeanty and it's Brock Bowers, and then it's kind of a fantasy wasteland. If the touch distribution is as narrow as I hope that it is, and that Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty dominate the touches in this offense, I think that both of them are worthy of consideration at their ADP. And granted, both of those ADPs are extremely high. Ashton Jeanty, RB6, 13th overall, and Brock Bowers has made the leap to tight end one, 17th overall. So you're looking at guys at the 1-2 turn, maybe the second round. So you're going to have to pay a steep price to draft either of them. Frankly, I'm more interested in Bowers than I am Jeanty. But if either one of them falls in my lap, I'm probably going to scoop them up and be pretty okay with that in either case. I really like Clint Kubiak's play calling. I really like the improvements at quarterback and what that means for both of them. I think that Cousins isn't necessarily someone who looks outside to his wide receivers very often. We saw how Kyle Pitts performed with him last year. We saw how Bijan Robinson performed with Cousins under center last year. I think that those skills are certainly transferable. And Bowers and Jeanty could be on the biggest beneficiaries from Cousins playing quarterback. I don't know how long Cousins will be playing quarterback, but I'd like to think that it will be for at least a few weeks where we can capitalize on that early in the season.
Yeah, and while I agree with you that from a fantasy perspective, it's really just a two-horse town in Vegas, I am interested and I want to keep an eye on the usage of Jack Beck early in the season, and or Besh, Beck, whatever, however you pronounce his name, B-E-C-H. Is it Besh or Beck?
Beach.
I don't know. Is it Beach? Oh, yeah. Jacques Beach. I don't know, but I need to edit that out. Nick might get mad at me for that one. That was not intentional. But, yeah, I just think that, you know, he had a lot of hype going into last season as kind of that waiver wire darling, not necessarily somebody that's going to win a league for you, but that can return some value. And with the offensive mind that Clint Kubiak, I was just about to say Gary Kubiak. I am old. Clint Kubiak has, I could see him developing a role for him in this offense to, you know, be flex viable, be wide receiver three viable. Not anything that's going to win you weeks, but may help prevent you from losing weeks during bye weeks, or if you wind up, you know, losing guys to injury, which is inevitably going to happen to all of us.
Don't laugh at me, Jay, but one guy that I am, one guy that I am at least a little bit interested in some draft formats, and when I say some, I think I mean the Scott Fishbowl more than anything, is Michael Mayer, the backup tight end, currently tight end 43. His ADP is not listed because he's probably not being drafted in the average draft. But I think that the Raiders will run a lot of 12 personnel. I think that Mayer will have a higher snap percentage than guys like Jack Besh and Deontay Thornton. So I'm not opposed to taking him, or at least keeping tabs on him after the draft, because Lord knows if Brock Bowers is out, Mayer is a potential tight end one. And even if Bowers is in, he's going to be on the field in 12 personnel. And I think that, you know, he was an absolute stud in college at Notre Dame. And I think that the Raiders will get him involved in this offense.
Yeah, no, I like that. And actually, before the Raiders wound up drafting Brock Bowers, I was in the business of acquiring as many shares of Meyer as I could, because I like the talent and what you've seen on the field from him. And whether, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen, but Brock Bowers misses time. Like you said, he is, I mean, he slots right into tight end one territory with some upside with, you know, his skills, his youth, the offense that he's going to be in. So I'm with you. That's not craziness.
He might be, now that Isaiah Likely has found a new team, he might be the best tight end two in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I gotta go with you on that one.
I mean, Jake Tonjes maybe, but
nah. Maybe I don't know. Theo Johnson's got some talent, but yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll do put that on our board. But with that being said, I am going to throw it to you, my friend, to start us off with the former San Diego, now Los Angeles Superchargers. San Diego Supercharger. You're the same age as me, right? Are you a little younger than me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm East Coast though, so I never really we didn't sing the song. We had,
well, I'm East Coast too.
We had HTTR, but we don't do that anymore. So
no, you know, I just I
fight songs. Fight songs for anyways. NFL teams. Fight songs for NFL teams just kind of weird. Like it feels weird.
Yeah, especially Giants fan. Like we don't have a mascot. No cheerleaders, no chant. It's just you don't want to hear what the Giants fans yell in the stands, pretty much.
Sell the team.
Yeah, I've said that a few times.
So this is undeniably the team I think that we've all been waiting for. This is one of the teams that we've talked about the most this offseason, with the addition of Mike McDaniel as OC. 2025 record for the Chargers. They were 11-6. They made the wild card, or they made the playoffs as a wild card, advanced to the divisional round. In 2026, their PFF strength of schedule ranks eighth toughest. So a little bit of a tough schedule, but I think that with, you know, McDaniel there, I think the offense is still exciting. Some key losses. They lost running back Najee Harris. They lost wide receiver Keenan Allen for now. We'll see if Allen re-signs or not. Who knows? And then key additions. They sign on tight end David Njoku, running back Keaton Mitchell, and, of course, OC Mike McDaniel. Jay, one of the things that I think we're most excited about entering the season is Omarion Hampton. RB9, 16th overall by Fantasy Pros ADP. Is he a guy that you're willing to take in the first round if you're down at like the 1-2 turn?
Absolutely. It really would depend who was there. It'd be hard for me to take him over a guy like Jonathan Taylor. Let me look at my ranks. I've not updated these yet for next week. They're not set, I should preface, but let's take a look. So I've got Jonathan Taylor 3, James Cook 4, Omarion Hampton 5. I might move. There's a reality where I could see myself ranking him 4. And I know
it's already spicy because you have Omarion Hampton ahead of Christian McCaffrey. So like,
I do. Oh, I know. It's, I know that one. And that's, I got Kenneth Walker. Well, I'm going to change that one. I had McCaffrey, my last rankings was 8, which may or may not change. So probably in that range. I am admittedly, when it comes to running backs, I prefer to get out a year too early than a year too late. That's definitely bit me in the past 5-ish years with Derrick Henry. So not saying that I won't draft them, but as you heard me say a few times, when it's close to a situation like this, I want to take the risk for the upside. Not that Christian McCaffrey doesn't have upside, but the youth versus the tread on the tires is kind of where I'm going with there. But yeah, I love Omarion Hampton. I think it's he's one of those guys that, you know, he started to get going before he got injured, and the hype was there. And for some reason, it doesn't feel like that same hype is returning. And I don't know why. I don't get it. I really don't. He's an incredible talent. And we've seen what Mike McDaniel has done with a running game. He was well on his way to his third straight 20-point game in week five before he left with the injury. And he finished pretty strong in the season. He came back, scored 14-plus fantasy points in three of the Chargers' final four games, and that was at less than 100% with Kamani Vidal involved. I think the recipe is there for that true sophomore breakout RB1 overall potential season. And to be able to get a guy like that at the end of the first, second round, I'll take that all day.
I'm not sure I'm not as high on Omarion Hampton as you are. I'm certainly not
many people are.
I was gonna say I can't jump that high with him. But he's certainly a guy who I think I have in my top eight. I need to double check that, but I think I have him in my top eight.
And to be fair,
go on.
I don't mean to interrupt you. It's okay. It was my fault for interrupting you. I say that I have him ranked five and CMC eight, but I have them both in the same tier. So I'm a big proponent. We've talked about this of tiers versus straight linear ranks. And if that tier is available for me, I would take Hampton just because I want that upside. Not that CMC is three or four or five spots worse than him.
One of the main talking points this offseason, aside from the McDaniel hire, was the offensive line in LA getting more healthy. Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt, both went down at different points of last season. They both appear to be back and ready to go for 2026. How does that impact the entire offense, soup to nuts here?
So, yeah, first off, absolutely phenomenal use of soup to nuts. It's just fantastic. But we talked about it on our QB episode. I think it's huge for the entire offense, and especially Justin Herbert. You know, when he had a semi-healthy offensive line, he threw 16 touchdowns in his first eight games. And then they continued to, you know, go down with injuries, and Herbert got hurt. If they're able to stay healthy, man, they signed, Alt coming back, Slater coming back, and they signed Tyler
Biadasz. Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
B-I-A-D-A-S-Z.
Biadasz.
It rhymes with
radish.
Riadish.
Tyler Biadasz rhymes with radish.
Sure.
Radish is a rad, not bad. So draft this number.
Yeah. You say it fast.
Radish.
Yeah.
Yadish. Yeah. All right. So yeah. We've seen the upside for Justin Herbert. He has that top three, top five upside. I think he still is going to wind up with a QB1 overall season. I'm not saying that is this season, but I think it's potentially there, especially if Mike McDaniel – I mean, we saw what Mike McDaniel did with Tua Tagovailoa. So, yeah, it depends just – I mean, I sound like a broken record, but it really depends on where you're drafting him once you look up that ADP. But he's somebody I am more than comfortable – going into the season as my starting quarterback.
What tier do you have Justin Herbert in? I'm looking at guys around him, and I'm trying to figure out just how high we might be throwing him here. Because, I mean, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, all guys going around him. Jackson Dart in that range as well. Currently, Herbert's ADP is QB10, 82nd overall. So kind of that almost third tier of quarterback. What are your thoughts there?
So I will say, as a Giants fan, there is no way on God's green earth that I would be drafting Jackson Dart ahead of Justin Herbert. I love Jackson Dart, obviously, and I think that he's got that fantasy potential, but the offense that they're going to have, you know, just the weapons now. We heard today that Malik Nabers definitely did have a second surgery and might not be ready until week five at best. There's no way. I think Trevor Lawrence feels like the safer play between the two. I still like Justin Herbert. I would have them my top tier. My number one tier is Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, and Joe Burrow in no particular order. And I would put Justin Herbert in right in that next tier with Lawrence. I do have Dart there, but that might change with this news. Caleb and Jalen Hurts. And I think he's in that secondary that with probably one of some of the best potential to jump to that next tier as well.
You skipped a name. I'm going to leave it for a couple weeks from now when we talk about the AFC East.
Yeah. Okay. I knew that was coming. Yeah.
I'm gonna let it fester until the AFC East podcast. Let's stick to the Chargers.
Yes.
Stay on.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you like Justin Herbert, which probably means you like his wide receivers. Ladd McConkey, 42nd overall in ADP, wide receiver 19, and then Quentin Johnston, wide receiver 40, 93rd overall. Yes to both. Yes to one or the other.
Right now,
yes to one or the other.
Emphatic yes to Ladd McConkey right now. Yes to Quentin Johnston, because we saw the stretch where he looked like he could be more than just the one on his jersey, wide receiver one on this team. I don't think that's the case. I think he's a solid wide receiver three that's going to have those spike weeks, going to have those stretches. But the one thing that concerns me about Ladd McConkey is if Keenan Allen does somehow wind up back on this roster. I still think he will be if that does happen, still be a borderline wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two. But, I mean, without him, I am emphatically emphatic about Ladd McConkey. The system has, as I put it in my most recent update, oodles of horizontal routes that emphasize quick catches and let receivers yak it up. Ladd McConkey happens to be just one of six receivers with at least 100 targets and a yak of more than 4.5. The other five, Puka Nacua, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Yeah, there's some math off there, but just the amount of players, not the numbers. But yeah, those are some pretty good guys. So the only thing that would really concern me is if Keenan Allen comes back and we just saw that, not that it's going to be something that it's more of Keenan Allen would be a damper on his ceiling than it would be his floor.
I think that's entirely fair. For me, I'm actually more interested in Johnston at 93rd overall. You're looking at eighth round. I'm super excited to get Johnston there as like a fourth wide receiver. Are you kidding me? I'm happy to roster him as like a third wide receiver in pretty much any format. I think that he has the potential to really, really excel in this Mike McDaniel system. I think that the longer that Justin Herbert has in the pocket with his two tackles back this season will benefit Quentin Johnston. And I think he could just blossom into the dude in the way that not completely different archetype of wide receiver, but like Tyreek Hill dominated in Mike McDaniel's offenses in Miami. I think that Quentin Johnston could potentially be that guy at a extreme discount here in LA with McDaniel calling plays.
So I can't wait to cut off that explanation at the end and basically just make it sound like you said Quentin Johnston is the next Tyreek Hill. So just to let you know that's coming. I completely agree with you what you're saying. That deep role in this offense definitely has potential, especially there's no risk where you're drafting him. I mean, that's no man's land already. And we've seen, even the system last year, the type of numbers that he was putting up. So I'm with you. And I'm not even going to talk about a tight end position because this is one that you have talked about ad nauseum this offseason, pre-Mike McDaniel, post-Mike McDaniel, before signings, after signings. So my friend, the floor is yours. San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers. Tight end, what are you doing for fantasy?
Don't draft Aronde Gadsden. That's it. That's all you get. I mean, if you've listened to any of the previous podcasts, you've probably seen me tweet about it. You've probably seen me rant about it in the Discord. Just don't draft him. for
I
one
think that's
thing,
good. I mean,
I was going to say, that's all I have. That's all I have on him. The one thing I do want to mention about this tight end room, which I'm calling a fullback in the tight end room, a tight end room still. Alec Ingold signed with this team recently. Ingold was with McDaniel for, I believe, his entire tenure in Miami as the fullback, as a pass catching back out, or a blocking, not as a pass catch option, as a blocking option, lined up at tight end, lined up at fullback, very versatile. And as a Ravens fan and a Pat Ricard fan, I absolutely love an offense with a fullback. So that makes me like Amarian Hampton even more.
I'm with you there. And we have a pretty decent one there in New York finally. You might know a thing or two about him.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, is there anything else before we wrap things up?
Oh, we've covered all four teams here in the AFC West. Jay, if there's one player, just kind of a 30-second elevator pitch, one player that you're targeting everywhere and or fading everywhere in this division.
That is a good one. Thanks for throwing that on me last minute. I think I would have to say it's obviously Amarian Hampton. I wax poetic how much I like him. And he's one that I know you're not supposed to – I preach, don't reach, don't overpay, but he's one guy that I think might be worth it. And guy that I am not drafting, honestly, as much as I hate to say it, it's probably Bo Nix. You know, he's already inconsistent, coming off an ankle injury. Mobility was part of his game. I just think he's too volatile for where you're, you know, like I said, early teens, no way. Mid to late teens, maybe, but I don't see myself as of right now drafting him.
Perfect. Everybody already knows my fade in this division. It's Aronde Gadsden. But one guy that I'm targeting everywhere is Los Angeles Chargers running back Keaton Mitchell. Mitchell, RB47 by ADP, 147th overall. You can get him super late in drafts. Basically is like your last bench guy before you draft a defense and a kicker. Mitchell was electric with the Ravens the past couple years, so I've seen him play, so maybe I am a little bit biased there, but he is electric, man. And Mike McDaniel allegedly basically posted wanted posters around the Chargers facility to let the owner and GM know that he wanted Mitchell, who was a free agent this offseason. So he's a guy who I'm really excited about. I think that Mike McDaniel used multiple backs in Miami most of the time. You know, remember the season that Raheem Mostert had with Devon Achane in the backfield. There can be multiple viable fantasy running backs in this backfield. So I think
there
Mitchell.
Was somebody else that was fantasy viable too that season. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but there was
Jeff Wilson, maybe?
Jeff Wilson. He had some flex weeks.
Yeah. So this is definitely an offense that I want pieces of. And Keaton Mitchell is one that, I mean, God forbid, Jay, Amarian Hampton misses more time this season. Mitchell is.
Don't say that.
There's a potential right now that Mitchell could be the most sought after back on waivers after week two without an injury. Imagine if there isn't it. Like, he is the most sought after asset in fantasy waivers everywhere if something happens to Hampton, if he has a hangnail. Like, the running back in the Mike McDaniel system is somebody I want on my roster, even if it's the backup.
And you saying it that way kind of, I know we got to get out of here, but kind of flickered in my head one thing to mention. Use those end of your bench spots, and not just before the season starts, all throughout the season. Try to make those speculative moves before they become the most sought after guy. There's nothing worse than going to look for that most sought after guy, highest guy for the week, and he's been on Brett's bench for 3 weeks. That's what you want to use the end of your bench for. Like, not for storing, you know, a middle of the road wide receiver that might get you, you know, a Khalil Shakir, like a guy like that. So just wanted to throw that out there, which you'll be able to hear more of when the Ultimate Draft Guide comes out later in July. Before we get out of here, Brett, we can do this quick. You have to ask me some random question. So I believe, right? Yeah, because I did the kids show one last time, right?
Yes, that is correct. It is my turn to ask you a random question. This one's not going to be so random. It's going to be something that is kind of related to the content here. What's your projected finish for the AFC West?
I like that. I will have to say I'm going to go Chargers win the division, Chiefs finish second in a wild card, Broncos are borderline playoffs, and then the Raiders are the Raiders.
I like it. I like it. I'm almost there with you, Jay. I have the Chargers winning the division also. I have the Broncos finishing in second here. I just think that their defense is too good not to. I have the Chiefs finishing third and still making the playoffs. And then I have the Raiders being better than people think, but I think we're looking at like 6, maybe 7 wins.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, and honestly, 6, 7 wins would be, I'm not, 6, 7 wins would be a huge step forward for this franchise. And they would obviously mean that they have the guy of their future, but the quarterback of the future, the guy under center. So that's it for the AFC West. Keep a lookout for these for the next 4 weeks. Our guys, Brian and Mario, are handling the NFC. We're doing the AFC. And do we know which division we're doing next week? Are we doing the same cadence as them, or are we just going to kind of get crazy?
Brian hit me up with what we are going with. So next week we are looking at the AFC North. AFC North is next.
That'll be a good one. So make sure you check out the NFC record podcast of these divisional breakdowns. Ours will be coming out next week as well. For Brett Ford, for QB List, I'm Jay Felicio, and we out.